All right, I'll try and make it justice. But
So to set the scene, we're
bef
going to talk about something that you chose and you sent me the video and I haven't watched the video.
So that's setting the scene perfectly. So I'm educating you on it. Hopefully you'll have a
Hopefully
few
I've
things
got
to say
something.
about that. But it's a short episode, 20, 30 minutes, for you listeners and watchers to get your juices flowing. I don't know if you can say that, but I said it. Right. So we're talking influencer marketing strategy for 2024, and how you can think about it for this year, setting up your year. So a way to think about it, I think it's a great analogy. I might do a post on LinkedIn about it at some point, is to think about it like a basketball team. And I love this analogy because I used to play basketball for a very long time in France. Almost made it pro, but I didn't eventually.
Almost.
Almost, yeah, the almost is, you can size the almost. Like, is it almost like a very, very close or very far away?
Oh man, second place is still a loser.
Your first or your first or your last. Your first or you lose. So the way this framework works is to think about influencer marketing less in a sense of doing one-off or just a few posts with a big influencer, but think about it like a roster, something that I've been experimenting for a while now, the last 2 years, 2 and a bit years. And why a basketball team? Because every other sport is too big. Can't say the same about football team or rugby team or what the fuck else, American football is like 60,000 players on the pitch, so that doesn't work. But
How many players on
basketball
a
is a
basketball
good
team?
size. Basketball says it's a good size. So it's five players on the court, and usually like five substitute. And why does it work very well? It's because you, if you think about it, like a basketball team, you can think about your year as the season. You can think about your high moment in your year as your playoffs. So if you're in DTC or e-commerce, that's your Black Friday, your Christmas. If you're in financial services like me, that's your January and your end of tax year period. And the composition of your team is what makes it exciting. So you've got two or three main players. That's your star players. They're usually slightly bigger influencers, but you sign them like players on a yearly basis. You try and work for as long as possible with them. So you create affinity with them and you create enough incentive within their contract to make sure that they're incentivized to talk about your company enough everywhere they have an audience. So that's the idea of moving away from one-off campaigns that are running for just a week or two. Try and incentivize them so it's running on a much longer period. Ideally, over a year. Then you've got your two or three. So you've got like two main ones. Let's say you've got three other on the court that are your like role players. They're slightly less big, but they may be more tactical, less big audience, but maybe more engaged. Easier to see that it's more engaged because it's smaller. So you can feel it in the comment, in the engagement.
But they wouldn't be micro influencers.
Not micro, no. Like kind of in the middle. Depending on like the industry you are, that size doesn't, it's changing. So I don't want to put numbers into this. Like it's really like depends on your budget as well. So like in a basketball team or any sport, you've got salary cap. I don't know if it applies to every sport, but you've got like a maximum budget you can spend. So that's your marketing budget. So depending on your salary cap, depending how big your club is, if your company is like Real Madrid. I'm moving into football now, but if you're because like if I talk about NBA, I don't know if all the listeners in the UK are gonna understand. But like the idea of like your big club or small club, you have more or less flexibility in like, who you can hire in that sense. But for your star players, like we've seen companies being very creative with the way they were incentivizing people. So like they would give like equity into the business. Sometimes they would like stunt in saying like so and so is becoming like the creative director for the company or the CEO for a month, you know, like those kind of things. Like that is, it's just a way to bring more importance to who's going to be your star influencer. And then you've got your substitutes. So those are the influencers that are like up and coming. They're still not known, but you're going to test them across the year on content and see which one works, which one doesn't. And that's going to be like, you know, on and off or fairly regularly across across the year, across the season. Then you've got your, you know, your staff, your coaches and stuff. That's us. That's the marketing team. You know, managing these guys. So if you're a bigger company, you might have an influencer marketing team that does that. A few people that are dedicated to managing those relationships. You might be working with an agency who does that for you. That works too. Or you're a small company and you might be doing all of that yourself. So that, again, like the salary, like the salary cap, you know, you'll have to module what you can achieve with the time that you have based on this framework. And
I've got two more to add.
Okay.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead. I'd say you got your courtside seat.
Okay.
That's your CEO, CFO. Then you got your mascot who comes out and does a stupid dance to keep everyone happy. And that's your fucking CMO.
Nice. Nice, it works, you see?
To keep everyone happy, to keep everything running along.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a good analogy, actually. Like being the CMO should be the cheerleader or the mascot of the company, not only communicating outside, but also internally. And it kind of works as a mascot. I like that. I like that. It's a good analogy.
And you got your bonuses as your T-shirt cannon.
Exactly.
Sorry, carry on. I've derailed it.
Those are your giveaways, you know. It's like your giveaways, your competition. It's your T-shirt cannon for the crowd, and that's kind of it, really. That's the framework, but it's a good one. And the reason why it works, again, like a sports team, is because ideally you want to create some rotation at the end of the year. So once you've tried that roster, you know, five main ones and let's say five substitute. You rotate them at the end of the season. So the ones that didn't work, you chuck them out, and you bring new players in at the transfer season. Ideally, your star players will stay for another year, but you know, you might not keep them either, so you might have to rotate that as well. That's the idea. Yeah.
What would be a three-pointer when working with a influencer? Like top tier creative or some kind of performance measure, do you think?
So I think the creative, the way of making content is the way I personally measure creators, which also goes alongside the engagement that they get. Usually if the creative is good, if they're good at creating content, their engagement is strong. Even if they're small, so you can measure them on that. I definitely do not measure creators just on followers. Depends on the platform, but like on TikTok, you know, it doesn't really matter. For your star players, the ones going to cost you the most, they will have both. They'll have, you know, big followings and big engagement in your niche.
And what about actual performance of their content? So like measuring all the way back to purchases, let's say.
Yeah. So
do you think that's still important today, or do you think it needs to be considered more like a, you know, like awareness kind of building piece?
I think it's a good question. So I think the success is going to be measured on the amount of slam dunk you make, to continue on that analogy, but how many pieces of content every month hits for any, for businesses, it depends on your business. Like, you know, a business that gets a video at 100,000 views or even 50,000 views, that might change your business, because you might be just getting started, and that will sell enough product or give you enough leads if you're B2B to get you where we want to, you know, the next stage of your business. For others, it might be like 1 million views, 2 million views, whatever. But it would be measured on that. And because the tracking is really hard on, you know, on most platforms, it's going to be really hard to tie up to every single piece of content. So the overall cost of what you're doing with all your team needs to average to where you want to be target wise, regard, you know, whatever your KPI is, whether it's revenue or app install or subscribers or whatever. So you can measure it on average, but you will see the outliers, the ones that really performed. The ones that don't perform as much, that the price to pay, you know, those are your, like, you know, your role players or your substitutes, you know, like, they're not gonna hit every time, but it might be less frequent with them, but sometimes it will work. But the quantity is important. I think in this analogy, the reason why it's 10, because it feels like a good number to be out there every day with enough content to just show up and try, and I can try again and try again. And I think shot on target is important. I think there's a stat in basketball that makes a correlation between the efficiency in shooting three pointers is also related to how many you try in a game.
Right.
And also, I mean, players have been getting more and more efficient at actually making them, you know, like Steph Curry and those kind of players. But there is also a correlation is in how many you try in a game. So now, to complete the analogy in basketball, and especially the NBA that I like to watch, teams will attempt more three-pointers because it'll increase their chances of winning overall. I think there's been some study. I can't remember the stats, but it goes along that side. So it's a bit of the same with content. You need to try enough to get success with a few of these videos. If you only post one video every week, you're never gonna get off the ground, right?
You miss 100% of the baskets you don't shoot.
Yeah, shoot your shot. That's the that's the expression, I guess, in the UK. Shoot your shot. Yeah, no, it's good. It's that's a good one. And obviously, the frequency will vary between your star players and your substitute. It's a lot easier to make a substitute create more content because it'll be cheaper for you. Someone who's slightly bigger might not want to do a video every day, but they might be able to do one a week, one every 2 weeks, you know, depending on how big they are. If they're like celebrities, it might be once a quarter, but you can layer them up between those tens. So you have like a content calendar that is like filled in with, you know, less frequent stuff from the LeBron James, and then the more frequent stuff from the sub, from the bench.
Yeah. And repurposing across different platforms.
Yeah. Exactly.
Taking your basketball team and putting them in the MLB for a season. Having them play some baseball.
Yeah. And I think this framework for influencer marketing is great, because I think organic content now is paid content. So if you have something that resemble that framework, you will get enough winning creatives to run for your paid marketing, and those two becomes like basically the same thing.
Yeah, and I think we've spoken before about the classic race car growth framework.
Yeah.
Which is, and that's kind of says that you can't build a growth engine off of something like influencers, which I do agree with. But I think you can't build a growth engine off of sporadic influencer usage. So if you're using influencers to just do big one-off things, like basically like PR. So if you have like a PR placement once every like couple of months in a magazine, if you do the same thing and you have a big influencer does something for you once every 6 months, not really going to do, that might give you spikes, but it's not going to do consistency. Whereas if you do something like this, you have a mix, you have a budget that allows you to be constantly producing content throughout the year, then potentially you could get to a point where you have a growth kind of engine built, or supported at least by use of influencers. I think like when you just use the word influencer, people are like, ugh, just really content creation, outsourcing content creation. You know, because
exactly,
you're not necessarily looking to convert their following as you would do if you, you know, like brands that sponsor weight loss pills for like Love Island contestants. You're looking to find someone who makes good creative that can do their style on your brand, and then they might not even use it on their own channels. It would just be something that you use on your channel. So it's not really like, I think the word influencer is not right. And you said before, right, that it's like content creator, that's what it should be called.
Creators. I think the is good for this episode to talk about influencers and put that name. They'll probably use that for, you know, keywords in the title, but it is creators. People able to make good content. We didn't touch on, you know, whether that content would be in your channels or their channels. In this framework, I'm talking about owned channels. So your own channel. Some of that content could go on their channel, obviously, if they're big enough or if it's part of the deal. But ideally is to fuel your pipelines.
And that's why it doesn't matter. That's why you shouldn't be picking them all based on the size of their own following, because it doesn't mean it's meaningless. You should just be picking it based on the quality of what they're producing.
Exactly. Especially for the substitute, when you go for the smaller players, it will not matter. For sure.
That's gonna be even more important if channels do move towards the TikTok kind of for you feed system. So less and less penetration into someone's like owned audience. So like you put content out, it might not go to, you know, the small percentage that it goes to at the moment when you work with an influencer, 20-30% of their followers will see it. Maybe in a few years that will be even less, because content is just going to anybody out there who the system thinks is relevant. So actually size of following will become less and less relevant over time.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing that we didn't touch on, that we can talk about it for a little while before finishing this mini episode, is how do you create that roster as the, you know, coach of the team, as the owner of the team. There's a few ways you can find people, but the one I like the most is the most organic one. The one that, you know, is the less scalable is I just spend time on the platforms.
I was going to say that.
Go on TikTok. You can search by keywords or things in your niche or around your niche. Look at videos. Just look at the content. See what comes out at the top. You'll be surprised like how easy it is to find someone who's making genuine content in your niche that feels passionate about it, and how easy it is to find their Instagram, because you can't DM people on TikTok. So like when you go into like the nitty-gritty of how to do it, you can't message someone on TikTok, but often they would link their YouTube channel or their Instagram account. If they're quite small, they will not have a YouTube channel. So you go on Instagram, you find them there. There you can message them. You'll be surprised. People mostly reply. Sometimes they say no, sometimes they say yes. It's very end-to-end combat, but I like that. I think the other thing that actually we never spoke about in this podcast before, but there used to be probably still a lot of, like, you know, influencer platform, like aggregators that, you know, charge you like they like charge you an arm and a leg too. They're just like a repository of, they're like an address book of like influencers. Like, I haven't seen any of these tools that were actually like useful. Like, you could just do it yourself. Like, there's no need to pay thousands and thousands of pounds or dollars to get that done. to get your roster done.
And I don't think it should be a task which you just give to your intern or someone gives you and says, spend today or the next couple of days finding five influencers, and you just go to TikTok and you search a few keywords and just pick the first ones that come. I think it does have to be organic. Yeah. I think it's difficult if you're not like already kind of in the culture, I guess, and understand who could be useful, who couldn't be useful. It's easier when it's like bigger people, probably because it's easier to come and have them on your radar. I think an interesting one would be you could start with on the YouTube side, because there's people that put a hell of a lot of effort into building, creating content on YouTube, and it's very difficult to get reach there. So you can find people that have like 2,000 followers, but they're doing like amazingly high quality content. And I think they would probably be really open to doing that level of content, but in, you know, vertical format on TikTok. They're probably doing it on TikTok as well, but their focus is YouTube. I think that could be an interesting route to find people that aren't being approached all the time.
Definitely.
But still make good content.
Definitely. That's it. That's a wrap, nice. I think. Short episode. Mm-hmm. Influencer marketing 2024. Think about it like a basketball team.
Yeah. Dribble the idea around in your mind and then go for the slam dunk. And try not to get what's it called when you pull someone's shorts down?
What? I don't know.
I thought it was called something when you get your shorts pulled down when you're like doing PE, doing basketball in PE, and you're standing.
It's called abuse. I was going to say
we're not era of school.
I was going to say the ball is in your court.
Oh, good one.
That's it. We'll end up on this. Right, before we close this, make sure you follow the pod. If you like this episode, follow the pod, leave a 5-star review, share it with your colleagues, with your network. If you know other marketers that might enjoy this type of content, we'll be back next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hey, bye. I don't know why I said thank you. But...